fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I'm picking up where I left off yesterday, which is kind of making our way through Romans chapter 8. At this point, it's been a week of reflecting on some of Paul's teaching as he puts his finger on the essence of the Christian life, which is a new life in the Holy Spirit. If you're just tuning in today, happen to come onto the program and you haven't had a chance to listen, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net. You can hear the programs. They're all archived there. This week's programs, but also many programs from previous weeks. There's Minor there as well as Sister Ann Shields, and a lot of great material there for you to browse and to look at your convenience, because I think it'll be encouraging and upbuilding. So left off at the beginning of Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start at the top again in verse 1. I won't speak about it in detail, but I'll just kind of read it so that you can get a feel for the context. Paul says, "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So most of that I talked about already, so I won't repeat it, but just the end of it, he says, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. The just requirement of the law. Justice is to what? To give to another what is their due. Justice is to give to God what belongs to God. We're made to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbors, ourselves. That's the way to health and happiness and fulfillment and ultimately to salvation. That's the pathway. That means putting God first, putting first things first. It's what brings sanity and health and wholeness. It's the Spirit that Jesus gave us in our baptism that gives us the power and the capacity now to live in a new relationship with God the Father. What died in baptism, that sin-directed reality, the power of sin ultimately having claim over, that's been broken. And now we've been raised and we're put in Jesus in a new status, a new relationship with God the Father. Jesus made it possible. He made for us to move from where we were in the fallen, separated condition from God into a relationship with God as Father. That means we're children of God. That's so amazing. And it's possible because our brother Jesus, the firstborn of a new creation, has made a way for us. The reality that moves us from death to life, that puts us in right relationship with God the Father, is the action of Jesus. And it's not just a thought, it's not just a principle we have to keep in mind in our head, it's a reality. We now share through baptism in what belongs to Jesus forever, his relationship with the Father in human flesh. He became one of us so he could share that status, that relationship with God that belongs to him. It's such a profound rescue, friends. It's such a thorough and amazing and mind-blowing gift that we've been given. Half the time, friends, we don't know who we are because we're still living in the flesh and the world. You know, the world wants to close off heaven and act like what we're doing, what we're producing, and the latest this and that, and our wisdom, that somehow all the big stuff is here on earth. Are you kidding? Everything's passing. The biggest stuff is not what human beings are creating. It's human beings themselves brought from death to life in Christ. The gold in this world, what's the only thing of infinite value here on this earth, is the human person, human beings. We're eternal creatures. And there's a war on for the destiny of each and every one of us. And for us to win this race we're running, for us to ultimately triumph and to enter into the only existence that will ever satisfy us, existence beyond our wildest imagining, is to allow Jesus, the only way it's possible is to allow Jesus to put us to death. The old man that's focused on itself, that's ego-driven, that's totally satisfied with basically my condition, I don't need to get too serious about God because, heck, I'm a good person. That's all he cares about anyway. And we actually live our life. Remember what Paul said at the beginning of this week from Galatians? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. To be Christian is to live by faith. And what is faith? It's not just an idea in my mind that I assent to. Faith is the radical, total, at the core root abandonment of myself to Jesus Christ, to live his life. And so the measure is not my own sense of how I think I'm doing. The measure is Christ. Do I love the Father the way Christ loves the Father? Am I passionately pursuing him every day? Is he first in my life, and is obeying him my food, as Jesus said? And obedience means praying, speaking with him, loving, never missing Mass, receiving the sacraments, getting our sins forgiven, loving our neighbor, feeding the poor, all the things that are present, extending his gospel in the world. Are you passionate about that? Are you passionate about these things? If not, friends, you're not alive yet in Christ. You may have been baptized, but in some way, you haven't appropriated that baptism. You haven't said, yes, Jesus, set me on fire. I want to live this life with purpose. I don't want to walk in the stupidity and the empty futility of a darkened mind that acts like everything that's worth having is in this world. That's nuts. It's a darkened mind, as St. Peter, St. Paul, and others have said. So Paul goes on, and he says that we walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. I mean, you have to just turn on the TV at night and listen to what people honor, what people pursue, what people are passionate about. Most of entertainment, so much of it, communicates the mind of the flesh. Even our politics, I mean, it's there. It's very easy to see. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh. My will be done, not thy will be done. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. This is not some esoteric sort of impossible or something that comes to the conclusion of a lifelong process of spiritual disciplines and opening ourselves to the forces around us. In baptism, we're given the Spirit. It's God's action. We're put in a new relationship with God by virtue of God's action. And so Paul is saying, we set our minds not on the things of the flesh. I mean, and in Galatians, which we touched on this week, you know, Paul, one of the places he describes what it means to walk by the Spirit and the flesh, he contrasts the two. So since we're talking here in Romans about Paul saying they set their minds on the things of the Spirit, not on the things of the flesh. He said, because to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God, because he calls us to live by the Spirit of his Son in the power of the Spirit, loving God, loving neighbor. That's why Paul says, I died in Christ and I live in Christ. What pleases God is faith. Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So Paul makes the contrast here, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and following. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. And I think that's something we all know and we've all experienced, and it's impossible to deny, right? We have a drive in us to gratify our flesh, not just lust. That's the first thing that comes to people's minds. But envy, greed, jealousy, we react to these things. Anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, you know, they're present in the human heart. And we say yes to these things, we're saying yes to the flesh. We refuse to give to God what is God's. Being spiritually lazy, that's giving into the flesh. Putting God kind of on the margins of my life, that's living with a darkened mind and yielding to the flesh. He said in verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would, what you're called to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. We've talked about law all week. I won't take it up, but you can go and listen to the programs again, and that'll make sense. I explain there essentially what Paul's saying here. help you make sense of it. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are plain. And here he puts together what is described often about Scripture, the various vice lists. Those are habits of living, patterns of life that are sin-directed, that are really against God's purpose and God's will, and they're deadly. He said, immorality, impurity, licentiousness, that's like a kind of lawlessness, idolatry, putting other things before God, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, a party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. It's kind of wild, isn't it? Because like drunkenness and carousing are just like taken for granted as normal. And even among Catholics and other people seem to think it's really no big deal. He said, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's worth repeating. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These things, friends, despite the fact that the culture is totally okay with them and promotes them all the time, these things are not good. They're profoundly offensive to God, and they're deadly. They're deadly. So we've got to fight against that drive within us. We have a power now within us to be able to resist the temptation and say no to this pattern of life and to say yes to what God's doing in us. And when we fall, we have forgiveness of sins. God knows if you're sincerely following him. God also knows your frame and your weakness. There's not a single sin that you've committed in your life or failure where God looks at you and said, wow, I can't believe you did that. He knows you. But he also knows whether you have a sincere heart and that you're really pursuing the grace of the Holy Spirit in your life and doing what's needed, daily prayer, frequent sacraments, living in community together, brothers and sisters, sharing your life, supporting each other, engaging the mission of the church, all those things that are so essential that the Scripture teaches us so clearly, and the church echoes the teaching of Scripture on these things. If we're living in those things, we're going to continue to grow if we live by the Spirit with a greater and greater capacity to say no to sin and yes to God. So now he just talked about the fruit of the flesh. I was talking about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who belong to Christ have crucified these vices that Paul talked about. And we've said no to sin. I don't want sin to reign over me anymore. I'm not going to play games with it. So one of the great challenges, I think we have to be honest with ourselves, is how often we flirt with these things. We have pet sins, we have favorite sins, we have things we're attracted to that God forbids, and we hang on to some of them because we can't imagine being happy without them. And we're attached to them, and we're not at the place yet spiritually where God wants to take us to, where literally God will, I promise you, if you follow the Spirit and you live out the life we're called to in the church with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, soon these things will no longer be attractive to you. God will change your heart. He'll change your tastes for what you think is good. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy for one another, but let's walk by the Spirit. Friends, if you've been baptized, you're a new creation. Lay hold of it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and give God permission, and watch what he will do with your life. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.